Callie, I want to thank you for that sharing of your life story. It was a challenge to hear. A positive challenge. 2018 is off and running, and some of us are running to catch up with it already. Happy New Year to all of you. Did any of you make any New Year's resolutions this year? Lots of people do that. Lots of people have been doing that for a long, long time. For instance, did you know that the Babylonians made New Year's resolutions to their gods at the beginning of each new year? They would promise to return anything that they had borrowed from anyone else and to pay all their debts. That would be a pretty good resolution for all of us today, wouldn't it? The Romans also began each new year making promises to the god Janus, and the month of January is named for the god Janus. For the Romans, it was a matter of political recommitments. In the medieval era, the knights, at the beginning of each new year, would make a resolution, what they called a peacock vow. And the peacock vow was to reaffirm their commitment to chivalry. That might be another good resolution for us today, since there's not that much chivalry left around anymore, I think. There's much more in ancient history we could talk about resolutions, but I want to jump to more recent history. At the end of the Great Depression in the United States, and some of you lived through that, researchers say that 25% of the people of the United States were known to make New Year's resolutions. But by the year 2000, the number had increased to 40%. The American Medical Association did a survey of what were the top 10 New Year's resolutions in the year 2000. And here they are. The first, number one, was to improve physically. You know, eat better, exercise more, get more sleep. Number two was mental well-being, have more fun in life. Number three was to get out of debt. Number four had to do with careers, perform better, or get a new job. Number five is more for students, get better grades. Number six, get more organized. Number seven, take a trip. Number eight, volunteer for something. Number nine, get along better with other people. And number 10, spend more time with the family. Now, the common element in all of those is self-improvement. 11 years later, 2011, actually, the Barna Research Group did a study, and they had the same question. In case you don't know, the Barna Research Group is a Christian research organization. Now, remember that the majority of those resolutions in the year 2000 were about self. Only three of them were about other people. Only 30% of the resolutions involved others. But here's what the Barna Group discovered in the year 2011. The top resolutions that were held by 30% of the Christian responders related to weight, diet, and exercise. I guess we all make that resolution every year, don't we? I make it right before Christmas. It never works. And the next most popular that was shared by 15% of the people had to do with their finances. And the next most popular, with 13% of the people, dealt with their personal improvement in some way, like getting organized. 12% dealt with job and career. But none of them expressed a desire to improve their relationships with other people. They were all self-centered. None of them referred to volunteering for anything. None of them caring for others disappeared altogether, Callie. Can you imagine that? After the life you've lived? At the conclusion of that study, the president of the Barna Research Organization, whose name is David Kinnaman, gave this summary. He said, Only 9 out of more than 1,000 survey responders, that's not quite 1%, mentioned that one of their objectives for next year was getting closer to God in some way. Even in the rare instance when people mentioned spiritual goals, it was often about activity undertaken for God rather than a personal pursuit of God or an experience with God. End quote. It's amazing, isn't it? We all want better lives, and we make resolutions for better lives, but we forget what Jesus told us about that. John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. John 10:10, I have come that they may have life and may have it to the full. Or you may have learned that verse, may have it more abundantly. I love the word that Jesus used for abundantly. It means beyond measure. It means exceedingly above anything that you can imagine or think. If you want to know what Jesus was talking about, you have to think spiritually. Yet fewer than 1% of the Christians in that Bonner research poll gave their spiritual lives any thought at all. They were more interested in losing weight. They were more interested in organizing their finances. They were more interested in going on a trip. What does abundant life mean anyway? If you were to ask 10 Christians, what do you think abundant life is? You would probably get 14 answers. But sadly, there's one group of Christians who think that they have the answer and they have focused entirely on material things. Those are the Christians who preach the prosperity gospel. Have you heard of that? Their theology is that your financial health and your physical health will all be better if you give generous donations of money, if you will visualize what you want and then claim it, positively confess it, and it will happen. You know, if prosperity is a sign of the abundant life, how do you explain those who have an incredible joy in the Lord even when they are struggling and they are suffering? In the book of Hebrews, there's a list of names. It's a Hall of Fame list of people for their faith. You know that list, I believe. They had a deep-seated joy in the Lord. They loved God. And yet, many of them were tortured, they were mocked, they were scourged, they were imprisoned, they were destitute, they were mistreated, they were homeless. Nevertheless, they knew what Jesus was talking about when he talked about abundant life. Do you? Paul said it this way. God is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. God is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. As you started this new year, did you make any New Year's resolution? And if so, were any of them about your spiritual life? Now, here's an interesting study. Read through the Gospel of John and see how many times the word life appears there. I'll tell you, it appears there 43 times. Now look and see how often the word life in the Gospel of John has to do with daily living and how often it has to do with eternal life. And I'm sure you know that eternal life was far, far and above what was intended whenever life was discussed. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. the greatest New Year's resolution that one can make is to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and then learn to know what that abundant life is all about. What He came to give to you. What He came to express to you. And then finally you will understand Paul's exclamation that he gave in Ephesians 3:20. He said, "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power within us." Jesus wants us to make a resolution. He wants us to resolve to enjoy the abundant life here and now. If you want to know what the abundant life is, then know what it is not. If you are dissatisfied, you do not have the abundant life. If you feel that you are lacking anything, then you do not have the abundant life. If you feel empty inside, then you do not have the abundant life. Notice what was common in all of those illustrations. Feel. A lot of people go through their lives based on their feelings. They're just wired that way. Feelings are not bad. But if you live your life totally on feelings, you are going to hit a big wall. You have to balance your feelings with the truth of God. You must balance it. Jesus Christ does not bring dissatisfaction and emptiness. Jesus Christ brings fullness of joy and strength to all of His children, to your body, to your mind, to your soul. So, make this your great resolve for this new year, for every new day, for every new minute. I resolve to live in Christ and allow Christ to live in me. If you need more meaning and fulfillment in your life, then you need more Jesus in you. Not a trip. Not a different menu. Not better grades. You need more Jesus in you. When you are helpless, He is the most helpful. When you are needy, He is the most sufficient. When you are dependent, then Jesus Christ is absolutely dependable. Can I hear an amen? Okay. When you are at your weakest, He is at His strength. He is able. When you are alone, Jesus Christ is intimately present with you. When you are insecure, He is your rock. When you cannot, He can. Romans 8:32. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all things? Hallelujah. So how are you doing with this Christian concept called abundant life? When other people look at you, what do they see? Do they see someone who looks just like everybody else? Or do they see something different in you? Do they see someone who understands what the abundant life is all about? Someone who's living the abundant life. If you do not think you have it and you want it, or if you think you have it and you want more of it, then I'm going to tell you one of the most important things you need to do to succeed. Resolve right now to repent. I bet you didn't think I was going to say that, did you? Repent. I mean, after all, when you think about it, that's what John the Baptist and Jesus preached right out of the gate. That was the first message that they gave. Mark 1:4. And so John came baptizing in the desert region, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And just a few verses later in that chapter, in the first red-lettered words of Jesus Christ, verse 15, "The time has come," Jesus said, "the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." There you have it in one short sentence. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. Believe what? Believe the good news. Repentance leads to forgiveness, and that is great news. Forgiveness is a major, major part of discovering and living the abundant life in Jesus Christ. I hope when people look at you, they see someone who knows what it means to be forgiven, to be washed clean. Have you ever been to a church where nobody smiled? Where all the songs were sung very slowly in a kind of a monotone? Where the service was boring, where the sermon was boring. You could replace all the people in those pews with basset hounds with their long ears and big bags under their eyes, and nobody would be able to tell the difference. Well, I hope that when people look at you, believer, I hope they do not see a basset hound. I hope they see someone who's forgiven, who rejoices in the joy of the Lord, who has repented of their sins and has been washed clean and understands what forgiveness is all about. It's not easy to repent of the sin that you enjoy so much, is it? When I was in college, I smoked cigarettes. When I was in college, almost everybody smoked cigarettes. It was just kind of the thing to do, and I enjoyed it. However, there was something nagging at me that I should quit. So I did, several dozen times, as a matter of fact. However, something happened to me. When I was 24 years old, I was working on my graduate degree, and I had a part-time job as a minister of music in a small church near the university. And one Sunday morning, standing in the choir loft, singing the opening hymn in the service, I passed out. I passed out. If there had not been a pew at my behind, I would have gone splat on the floor. It was scary. Elizabeth and I had only been married a few months, and she panicked. She said, "You need to see a doctor." So I saw a doctor, and the end result was he said, "You have a heart condition." And he said, I'll never forget his words. He said, "Young man, if you do not stop smoking immediately, I believe you will be dead by the age of 35. But you know what? He scared the nicotine right out of me. I didn't even desire a cigarette after that. I never smoked again. I never wanted to smoke again. And I remember that story when I was thinking about this sermon to you. And by the way, my heart condition's gone. It's been taken care of, praise God. Repenting of your sinful habit over and over will not lead to the abundant life. You need to let go. Let go. And receive the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, the abundant life. That's what John said. That's what Jesus said. When you truly repent, you'll understand what the abundant life is all about. Now listen, some of you think that I'm not preaching to you. You think I'm talking to new Christians, new church members. Well, guess what? You are still a sinner. No matter how long you've been walking this road with Jesus Christ, you and I are still sinners, and you need to repent. Not just every new year, not just every new day, but every minute. And it doesn't stop. It just keeps on going. When you repent of your sins, oh, brothers and sisters, you understand, you hear the shepherd's voice like never before. You understand the shepherd's voice. When you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have any fear because he has led you beside quiet waters and green pastures. His rod, his staff, they comfort you. He prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. And when your cup overflows with joy, you know what the abundant life is like. And I'm not talking about when your cup is full. I'm talking about when your cup is so full that it overflows. And here's the best part. You will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. And that is when you will know that you know that you know what the abundant life truly is. Can't wait. Isn't that awesome? Doesn't that warm your heart? That is why God's word declares that his people burst into songs of joy. He turns darkness into light. He surrounds us with songs of deliverance. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. I want that for you and I want that for me. Not just for the new year, but all the time. So, let's recommit ourselves to the greatest New Year's resolution of all. That Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Amen. Let's pray. God, you are an awesome God. And I pray that we will not be complacent as we receive again your word for abundant life that is available to all of us. You are an amazing Lord, Lord Jesus Christ. And by your grace, we are healed eternally. May we receive, may we share, may we rejoice, may we live your abundant life by your grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.